Zelfs. And Solstice Stichine occurs just after the shortest day of the year. And so from now on the days are going to get lighter, but it continues to get colder. There's this bit of a lag in the sunlight versus heat stakes. And Sesshin, I think back in terms of the journey that happens, not so much in Sesshin, but when you first start practicing about kind of aspirations and vows and what you want to get out of Sesshin, for me have become a lot less complicated over time, and it's a lot less I guess I want to get out of Sesshin. And it's kind of a two-edged sword because you can become really lazy. I kind of found Sesshin a bit like Club Med in some ways. And you get fed and you get decent food and had enough sleep. And there's not too much else that you have to manage. And that's where I guess the real challenge is that really, you know, the practice of Sesshin is about starting and finishing where we are. And so that is really really challenging because all the time we're, you know, from the moment we get up to the moment we go to sleep, there's normally something we need to do or be or some kind of readjustment and movement we need to make to achieve something. And for Sesshin, it's not about that at all. And there are things we have to do to accomplish various tasks, but there's nothing that the bare bones of Sesshin is to really let everything go. And but just as we are, you know, just like this. So it's a really simple task, and I guess I say that because that we can tend to complicate things by looking to get something out of this time. And Sesshin itself is also a very kind of bookmarked time, because we say, look, we set up the conditions so that we don't need to do anything. You know, there's no prizes here. I mean, you need to show up, and there are a few kind of guidelines, but there's nothing. There's nothing to gain. When I say nothing to gain, kind of like the Zen sense, you know, it's like actually, it's the, you know, there is nothing. There's no kind of badge you're going to get, or you won't be tested much on anything. So the practice of Sesshin is really letting all that go. And we're so wired to do that, really wired to perform. So, but there's no need here to plan or to sort things out. There's no need to prepare and work out where we need to be and navigate, you know, a difficult time, because like life, you know, is the practice of life is just that it presents itself moment by moment. And out in the world, normally we need to, you know, navigate vehicles and people and situations, and the Sesshin is like, it's one time we don't need to navigate, but of course we still do because we're habituated to doing that. And so when we sit, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we kind of navigate. We say, oh, this is boring, so therefore I'm going to spice things up a bit. Have some exciting thoughts. Or I'm really going to work hard to be clear. Am I doing this right? Am I adjusting my mind correctly? all those kind of things come up. And but I guess that it emphasizes that especially on the first day, is that just that practice of simplicity. And simplicity isn't about being, you know, attaining something that looks simple. It's about this thing here. And what is that? It's like, well, this is what it is. This is what it is. But the challenge really is to, you know, relax into that. Like I said, for thought junkies like ourselves, it's really hard. But that is the practice of sesshin. So it always helps just to think about those basic processes again of posture. So we talk about the practice, the fundamentals of being body, breath and mind. So body, you know, this body and the way it feels. And that when we sit, when we walk, when we work, when we sleep, that we're aware of the posture that we maintain, and how that, you know, helps or hinders our levels of comfort, and when we sit, we're very aware of the breath, you know, how the breath flows in and flows out. It's really our connection. The so-called internal and external world. And generally we aim not to control it. You know, sometimes it's deep, sometimes it's shallow. And then the mind, we all have a meditation practice that we engage the mind with, and so paying it real attention to that. And to, you know, whether it's koan, breath, Shikantaza, that we commit, you know, to that practice, remembering that, you know, the practice is to let go of conjecture and to really experience directly that, you know, whether it's that koan or that breath or the sound of the rain. And we experience directly by letting go of all that machination. So it's quite, you know, quite simple. You know, we've just introduced kind of a simplified Orioki, which is quite exciting after 10 years, major, you know, it's a huge move for Green Mountain Zen to do something different. Orioki is, you know, it's the, I think one of the translations is just the right amount. And so it's also a practice in itself of, you know, watching what you eat, and also eating together with others in a more formal environment. So I want to talk today about a koan, and this one's from the Book of Equanimity. And it's case 21, and this one's called Ungan Sweeps the Ground. It's kind of a good work practice koan. It's about two characters, again from Tang Dynasty China, who in their, they're both, I guess, these ones are Dharma brothers, and they're very close, and they're students of a monk called Hyakujo, or Baijan in the Chinese pronunciation. And Baijan is the one who's credited with, I think, setting up the community or communal system for monasteries, and he has the saying of a day without work is a day without food. And so he was, and I think you might have heard the story, when he was getting an old monk, and there's this kind of student sort, and he's always out there in the fields hoeing and ploughing, and he's about in his 80s, and they decided he shouldn't really be out there, and he'll break something. So they hid his tools, like his hoe and his rake, and And then he decided he would go on a starvation diet until they showed up with his tools again. So they brought them out again. And his thing was a day without work is a day without food. And so that importance of contributing to the community. And also in terms of him, in his teaching that you know he worked alongside the other monks. So this is about two of his students, Ungan and Dogo. So koan, it has three parts to it: the preface, the main case or the koan, and the appreciatory verse. So the preface. Although you are freed of delusion and enlightenment, and have exhausted holiness and ordinariness, a particular capability is still needed to establish who is host and guest, and distinguish between noble and base. It is not that there is no measuring of character or assigning of work. How do you understand the kindred spirit of the same branch? This is the koan. Attention! As Ungan was sweeping the ground, Dogo said, "You're hard at it." Ungan replied, "Well, you should know there's one who isn't hard at it." And Dogo said, "So, is there a second moon?" Ungan held up the broom, saying, "Which moon is this?" Dogo desisted. Regarding this, Genshi remarked, "Indeed, this is the second moon." And Ungan also said, "The butler watches the maid politely." The verse is, using what's at hand, he finished up the yard. He could use it and know when to desist. Before Elephant Bone Crag, a hand fiddles with a snake. What you did as a youngster, now aren't you ashamed? So this is a koan where, so Ungan's doing work practice and he's sweeping somewhere, you know, sweeping the deck or raking leaves out on the front court here, and Dogo, as they say, Dogo and Ungan never missed a chance to kind of test each other's understanding. So this is what this koan is about. It's about their interplay, and if you look at the preface kind of gives you a bit of a clue what's this is about. It says, although you are freed of delusion and enlightenment and have exhausted holiness and ordinariness. So he's talking about these two guys saying that they're, you know, they're freed of delusion and enlightenment and exhausted holiness and ordinariness. In other words, they're well-seasoned practitioners. But a particular capability is still needed to establish who is host and guest and distinguish between noble and base. So in other words, that it's one thing to be, you know, satisfied and content within yourself. But there's still that requirement or I guess need to help others. Yeah, so a particular capability is still needed to establish. Host and guest is a way of describing like a host is normally like someone you say who is accomplished and a guest is someone who might be teacher, student, that kind of thing. Or between noble and base, so someone who's noble and someone who's a commoner. So how do you use your teaching tools? So Ungan and Dogo are teaching us. So it's like talking about that. So a particular capability is needed, and these folks have got it. And it's not that there is no measuring of character or assigning of work. Now this work needs to be done. And how do you understand the kindred spirit of the same branch? And so these two are on the same branch. Because they're from the same teacher. So sweeping the ground and or you're cleaning the toilet, say, today, or chopping the vegetables, and someone comes up and says, "Yeah, you're hard at work. And so what is that? You know, it's like, it's just, we get that all the time, right? It's like someone comes and says, "Oh, you're working hard." And and so, what do we normally reply?
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like you really are working hard. Other times it's a throwaway comment. And sometimes you're just like, huh? And I'm going, so Dogo says this for a purpose, you know, you're hard at it. Well, he might not have actually, he might have just been, you know, throwaway comment. But anyway, Ungarn picks it up and he says, well, you know, you should know there's one who isn't hard at it. There's one who's not working hard at all. That's the first part of the koan. So what is that? What is the one who isn't working hard at all? You know, whenever if you're chopping down a tree, huge tree, dripping with sweat, whatever it is that you're doing, that's a great effort. And Ungarn says, well, you should know that right there, you know, there's the one who isn't hard, isn't lifting a muscle, isn't moving a muscle, isn't lifting a hand. Sounds a bit odd, you know, it's like working hard, there's no one working at all. And then Dogo comes back and says, so, is there a second moon? When you say second moon, it's a way to describe, the moon is normally a symbol of awakening, you know, enlightenment, and so he's saying, oh, are there two realities then? You know, there's the one who isn't hard at it and the one who is hard at it. Oh, they're two realities. Is there a this experience and then some other experience? Is it possible to divide my life into two? And Ungarn holds up his broom saying, so which moon is this? So, you know, in terms of our lives, then the one who isn't hard at it and the second moon are really what this koan is pointing to, and and we really encounter that. That second moon in Sesshin. You know, we count it all the time, but it really kind of highlighted in Sesshin. And, you know, it's that, Joko, you mentioned something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I knew there was something that had some connection to this in the talk when we were going around yesterday. And it's around that thinking that there is some other experience or time or place or you know what we saw?
Yeah, it's about the year of your life. And his teacher said to him, you can go, but wherever you go, it's gonna be something. It's always not right.
That's right, there's always something not right, which is so it was Katagiri Roshi's description, and it's like, so when something's not right, then depositing a separate place or time when something is right. And when we break up this all of the peace world into two, or three, or five, or 20, or millions. So yeah, so this is the second moon. And that second moon appears most, you know, most vividly. And you know, our practice is to, when we sit here, is we have the opportunity to see that second moon arising. In the sense that we split ourselves up. Now, and we can directly experience the fact of our existence. But we can also experience that mind that is creating some other alternate reality. So this koan really, really kind of plays with that and points it out directly. And as Ungan says initially, you should know the one who isn't hard at it. And that's the practice of Seshin, is like, you know, that's the one which we get to know. Let's get to know the one who isn't hard at it. It's kicking back, chewing grass, smoking a cigarette. Oh, we don't. Do we do that these days? No. Chilling out in the sun in the midst of this activity. There's a lovely koan about the hermit of Lotus Flower Peak, where I can't remember the beginnings of the koan, but his reply to various questions is that with my staff across my back, I wander among the myriad peaks. And it's like that you kind of feel that energy, like you just put your staff across your back, you know, like across your back, you're kind of like, you know, it's there or like that. You just kind of really relax. It's wandering among the myriad peaks are kind of a way of saying, you know, all the things in your life, you know, the ups and downs and all that kind of thing. So, that's his experience of the way he lives his life. It's relaxed. And why is it relaxed? It's because this experience is when we talk about relaxing into the arms of the Buddha. The arms of the Buddha are, you know, this fixed experience, and we're already held by it. And yet, you know, you try and get away from it and work out something else. But we're already held. And you can see that, you know, sometimes that one who doesn't work hard, sometimes it's easy to experience that when you're doing something you really enjoy, and time just goes past. And you kind of lose yourself, lose your experience of a separate self. And then just to kind of finish up the koan, then you know, Ungan holds up the broom saying, "Which moon is this?" And then Dogo desisted. Sorry, I love that word, desisted. And it doesn't mean Dogo like gave up and ran away or, oh no, been beaten. He just like desisted. Didn't do anything more. He didn't make the next move. So, but his desisting is it's the end of that conversation. Anything more would be, you know, too much. And so that's kind of our question. I think it's a nice little koan, you know, like, so which moon is this? And it's like what is this? What is moon? What is the sound of one hand? What experience is this? Now there's some other, I was raking leaves at my parents the other day, kind of contemplating this one. It's a good one for when you're doing something manual labour, and there's a lot of autumn, and then so me and the kids raked up all these leaves on the Saturday, and we took them all off to the compost, and it's beautiful, and then went out there the next day, it's like Yeah, like we've done nothing at all. That's like a really good autumn, you know, autumn colour. As that feeling when you get into Reiki, that whatever it is there, you know, like, is it me raking? Am I being raked by the universe? That feel of just being held by this infinite world of form and motion and movement. And the last couple of lines here in the koan are a couple of people who commented later on this koan. And Genscher, regarding this, sometime later, Genscher remarked, "Indeed, this is the second moon." A couple of ways you could look at that in terms of, like, it could be way too much what they're doing here. And they're introducing a little bit of confusion. And Ullmann also said, "The butler watches the maid politely." And I've seen various interpretations of this, but I guess in some ways they're kind of like saying the butler and the maid are these two folks, and they're servants, so they're, you know, in some ways they're great Zen masters, but also they're kind of behaving like a couple of servants having fun, and just kind of just watching each other, you know, playing this game. So, we've got, three, four days to go, and that vital question, you know, of what moon is this, is the one that we pick up. You know, it's as grand a question as if, like Dogo and Ungarn are great, noble people, or kind of the butler and the maid. It's kind of a simple, mundane question as well. But, you know, our practice is to let go of all kinds of suppositions and thoughts and ideas, and to experience this moon, you know, directly. Great. All right. So let's carry on and finish with the four vows.